So, as everybody who stood up here has said, Happy Mother's Day. I can remember as a kid always complaining that Dad's got Father's Day and Mum's got Mother's Day and kids didn't get any special days. And my mum would go, every day's kid's day. And now that I have my own kids, I get that. I had a little thing come through my Facebook feed this week that says, anyone who... having a daughter is like having a little broke best friend who thinks you're rich. And I took my daughter shopping yesterday, and it's exactly like that. But I love it a bit. When Kerry approached me 5 or 6 weeks ago about preaching while we were in between ministers, she went, oh, how about this date? I went, yeah, that sounds all right. She went, oh, that's Mother's Day. Maybe you want to do a different day. And I went, no, that's okay. I'll do Mother's Day. And just off the top of my head went, I can preach on the mother heart of God. And she went, that sounds great. So off we went. We locked it in. I went home and I started Googling God as mother, the mother heart of God, and realised that I'd stepped in the middle of a theological minefield. And so I started to reconsider whether there might be a different theme that I should take for the day. But that one stuck. And what I wanted to do is just make a few things clear right from the beginning. This is not going to be a feminist rant. I am not about to suggest that we start worshipping the goddess or that we start referring to God as he. Jesus, who was very clearly a man, taught us to pray to God the Father, and I'm not about to argue with that authority. So, in discussing the mother heart of God today, I don't want to take anything from your experience of God. What I'm hoping I can do is to add something extra, that brings you a new insight and a new depth of intimacy with God. When we discover God and encounter him, it's a bit like four blind men encountering an elephant. The guy at the front is going, an elephant is like a big snake. The next fellow down by the leg goes, actually, no, it's a tree stump. The guy by the ear is going, what are you saying? It's like a sheath of leather. And the guy at the back with the little fluffy tail tuft is saying, you're all wrong. It's actually like a little fairy mouse. Each man is talking about the part of the elephant that they've discovered. Each of them is limited in what they can experience of the elephant at any one time. Each of them describes what they encounter by comparing it to something that they already know. Each of them has a different perspective. Each of them is right. And each of them has more to discover. When it comes to us and God, we can only talk about the part that we've discovered. And there is so much more to him to know than what we can ever actually grasp. When we describe God, because he's beyond our understanding, there are no words, really. So what we do is we describe him being like something or someone. We describe him as being like a raging storm, like a roaring lion, like a loving father, like a landowner, like a husband, like a ruler, or he's like a woman who loses a gold coin and turns the house upside down until she finds it. So that's sort of what I'm hoping you'll approach this morning like, that everything that you know about God as being the good and true father is absolutely true. And he's also like the perfect mother as well. So my basis for that, because I'm a logical thinker and I like to have all of my little logical steps in a row, I went back to the beginning because that's always the best place to start when it comes to God. So Genesis chapter 1, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we see by this scripture, right back at the beginning in creation, that God's image was too big to be expressed simply in maleness. Female was part of his image. So the fullness of God is best understood when we think a bit outside the boxes of maleness and femaleness that we live in our time and space. And really, I think whatever we call God doesn't change God. Shakespeare went, "A rose by any other name will smell as sweet." We could call God whatever works for us, Bruce, George, Craig, Sharon, I don't know. But that doesn't change who God is. I call my daughter Chuck and Caitlin. Her friends here I've discovered today call her Gaskell, because that helps them tell the difference between Caitlin and Caitlin, because there's Caitlin and then there's Gaskell, and they know which one's which. Doesn't change who she is. So when we play in our heads with the idea that God might be more feminine than we'd imagined, and play with the idea that maybe just for fun we think about God as being female, God can deal with that. It's not changing who he is, but it helps us change our headset, our mindset about what God is like. So today's a little bit of an intellectual exercise, but I hope it becomes a bit of an experiential exercise as well. Human experience makes it pretty clear that mothers and fathers play different roles in the lives of their children. I'm a fairly adventurous person, for anyone who's known me. I don't mind putting myself in places of mild physical discomfort. I met my husband when we were rock climbing at Kangaroo Point Cliffs, so it's not everybody who thinks it's fun to strap on a harness and tie yourself to a piece of rope that's this big and go climbing up a 13-metre cliff and trusting that the person at the other end isn't going to let go of the rope. But that's one of those things I enjoy doing. Bizarrely, public speaking is one of the things I like, but most people find that that's one of the more terrifying things that they can do. But for all of my adventurousness, when it comes to my children, it's my husband who's going, "See if you can get further up that tree. You can jump from that rock to the other." And I'm the one going, "Careful. Please be careful." So I don't know what those roles are like in your families, but my experience is it's usually the fathers who are going, "You can do it. Try a bit harder, go a bit further, take that bit of a risk, go outside your comfort zone, see where your limits are." And it's the mums are going, "Have you got your stack hat on? Be careful, are you wearing sunscreen?" And the dads are going, "They'll be right, they're young, their bones are soft, they'll heal quickly." But it goes back much, much further than that. A woman's body is built to bear a child. The father is involved in the begetting of a child, but once his initial contribution is made, it's not him who starts to undergo the irreversible physical changes. Did you know that your feet grow a size when you're having a baby because all your ligaments soften and so the bones in your feet spread further apart and all those really cute shoes that you had before you were a mum don't fit anymore and you have to get a whole lot of shoes? Issues. So that's sort of good and bad all in one thing. But it's the mother who feels that first flutter of movement. Before anybody knows, I knew I was pregnant with my son before anything else was going to tell me I was pregnant, because one morning I woke up and I was just sick. I was sick for 16 weeks and I still love him. But that intimacy between a mother and child starts before anybody has any idea that a woman is with child. She's the one that wakes up when the hiccups start at 2 o'clock in the morning, when little elbows poke kidneys and understands the indignities of kicked the bladder at the most inconvenient time. It's the mother who bears the pains and indignities of labour. It's the mother who understands that exaltation of the birth of the child and holding that little one to your chest for the first time as the child instinctively suckles. So it's the mother who's physically prepared to nurture an infant. A mother has that intimacy that comes from breastfeeding, being able to quiet a child with nothing else other than herself. The mother has that sixth sense that awakens her at night to the squeaks and squawks of a child as the father slumbers on. And I dare say all fathers have had that frustration of really wanting to be there for their child, but somehow only mummy will do. In the Old Testament, and especially in Isaiah, God describes his relationship with Israel in terms that echo that intimacy of motherhood. Listen to me, all of Israel who are left. I created you. I cared for you since you were born. I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your saviour. In Deuteronomy, he says, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you and you forgot the God that gave you birth. Isaiah again, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You will be comforted. And finally, in Isaiah 49, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. God expresses his love for Israel and by extension his love for us in ways that speak of the heart of a mother towards her child. And in that last verse, can a mother possibly forget the child that she has born? There's no way that is going to happen. And yet his love for us is even more than the love of a mother who in no way can ever forget her own child. And then we come to the New Testament and we read this in John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you were doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How many times do we say that and hear that, being born again? But if we just pause for a minute and think about that in the sense of a woman giving birth. I only did this about a week ago. It just went on like a light bulb in my head. When we're born of the Spirit, it's that sense that we are brought forth from the very depths of the Spirit and the essence of God's Holy Spirit. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus says. Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. That just stunned me when I came across that. Because like we just say that all the time, and in my head, the Father God was my concept of God, and that more feminine, mothering side of God, I guess I was aware of it, but it's just sort of become something much more real in the last few weeks as I've been preparing for this. And look, way back there was a Christian sect for a while that used to refer to the Holy Spirit as she and considered the Holy Spirit to be sort of the mother figure in the Godhead. I'm not sure I'm prepared to go that far, but it's not a concept that's unknown in Christian history and Christian theology. And like I said at the beginning, I'm not going to start trying to challenge the theology as it is, but just spread our understanding of who God is. So if we think about that, though, just entertain it as a bit of an exercise. If the Holy Spirit gives birth to our new spirit, then our spiritual birth is something that has been hoped for and dreamed of by the Holy Spirit, just as so many women hope for and dream of having their own children. As a woman grows a child in her belly, so the Holy Spirit grows us in a safe environment where our faith can slowly be knit together to slowly form until we are at a point where we're ready to be born. We come to that recognition, that realization that we are sinful and that we live in a fallen world and that we need Jesus and we need to be born again, as Nicodemus discovered. And it is at that point that the Holy Spirit labours to get us across the line, to bring us from that place of trying to conceptualise that this Almighty God could love us enough that he would give his only begotten Son, that we might live and be reunited with the Father. The Holy Spirit labours to bring that to fruition. And then the Holy Spirit knows that joy of bringing to life your newness in Christ. And from that moment on, the Bible tells us that when we accept that Jesus is our Saviour, that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And so from that point, the Holy Spirit is with us every moment, alert to our every cry. He has everything that we require to be nurtured from the very beginnings of our faith through to maturity. And along that journey, from birth, when a baby is so dependent on its mother, as time goes by, becomes more and more connected to its father. So the Holy Spirit introduces us to God as Father, so that we have that wholeness of the experience of God. But I say, when you think about God as being a parent, do you ever wonder, oh, if you've had your own kids, you know, but why? But why, Mum? But why? Can you imagine how many times God has heard us say, but why? It's not fair. How come they get that? Parenting gave me a whole new appreciation for God's love for us. That was just a bit of an aside that occurred to me this morning. Now, taking a little step to the side again, there was a big birth this week, a birth just like any birth, but a new baby was born into the royal family. You might have caught that somewhere in your news feed. But Prince Harry, the gossip magazines bring it up on a regular basis. There's that question about, is Prince Harry actually the son of Prince Charles? You know what? When it comes to fatherhood, there's always room for that question. But when it comes to motherhood, there is no doubt whose child that mother has, because they are so intimately connected. If you doubt that God is really your father, I want to put it to you that if you are born of the Spirit, there is no doubt to whom you belong. And if you have trouble with that concept of God as Father, God gets that. And he doesn't blame you for that. He wants to change that for you. But what you might find easier to get is that if you are born of the Spirit, you belong to him in a sense that a child belongs to a mother. And if the father love is something that's hard for you to grasp and appreciate, perhaps that mother love of God is something that you relate to and you can connect to. And I trust without a doubt that if you embrace God in that you can, he will, through his Spirit, reveal to you the heart of the Father God to you as well, so that you experience that fullness of love in God. So can all of these of theological imaginings and games that we play with words and concepts in our head really make a difference? For me, it has. A few months ago, even before Kerry asked me to speak today, I was spending some time with God, and I can't remember what I was working through in my head, but I just had this moment where I thought, what if I imagined that the Holy Spirit was female? Just for an exercise like we're talking about doing this morning. And to be completely honest, I didn't expect anything. But all of a sudden, I had this realization that the Holy Spirit gets me like my girlfriends get me. The Holy Spirit gets me like mums get me. Now, I have a good relationship with my dad, with my husband, but men get women, I think, in different way that women get women. It's a gross generalisation, I know, but it's reasonably well accepted that men's brains are wired to identify a problem, analyse the problem, come up with a solution, put solution into practice, problem solved. And that is fantastic. That is very, very, very useful. But sometimes, as women, as mums, that's not the process that we're looking for. We're looking for someone who will go, sit down, have a cup of tea, and let's talk about it. And like I can't always understand why my husband doesn't sit and go, sit down and have a cup of tea and let's talk about it. He's wanting to solve the problem because that's how he shows me he loves me. He doesn't understand sometimes that what I need is that cup of tea, and his brain doesn't work that way, and that's okay. And we've learned ways around that, and he's getting much better at making the cups of tea, I've got to say. He's very perceptive. He's getting better by the day. But that sense that God gets us, he gets our mother heart. I think this, I can only speak from being a woman in a relationship with God where we talk about him as father and son. And so in my head, I realized I've boxed God into responding to me the way men generally respond, which is the way God's wired them to do that. But it's limited my understanding of how God wants to relate to me, and that he doesn't just offer me a definition and a diagnosis and a solution and tells me to go and do it. He'll actually sit and listen to my heart and understand my heart and walk that process as a good girlfriend would beside me. So sorry guys, I'm not sure if that really speaks to you, but there'll be Father's Day in September. And over the years, we've all probably heard a lot about the father heart of God and how God is the perfect father. So where there are places in our heart that our natural father hasn't been able to fill because of just the limitations that there are on being human, that God, the loving Father, is able to fill those places in our heart. I think it's important that we recognise that as mums and our own mums are not able to fill all of those places in our heart that God has put there to be filled by a mother's love. And he is able to fill those holes in our heart and heal those wounds where our mothers were not able to be all that our mothers were perhaps meant to be in the perfect world. As a mum who has to work, I frequently fall victim to mother guilt. I have missed sports days. I've not been able to do tuck shop. I've not been able to make it to soccer games. I've forgotten gifts for birthday presents. I've not been around to help with homework, to encourage music practice. I've been too tired to read bedtime stories. And knowing and realising that God has got my children, as a mother has her children, to fill in for what I'm not able to fulfil because of the realities of the world I live in, has made a huge difference to the freedom I have to be myself, to do what I need to do and to love my children, knowing that God's mother heart has my kids when I can't and when I don't. Finally, there are women and men, but today especially women, for whom today is a particularly difficult day. You've yearned for children that you don't have, and you've carried children who have died before you could hold them or died very early on. I believe that God wants you to know that he knows your pain and he knows your grief and your loss, not just because he created your mother heart, but because he has one too. He knows the desire for new life. That's why Jesus died, after all, that we might be born again. He knows the anticipation, the hope, the excitement. When someone hears the gospel, entertains the idea that there might be something worthwhile in the story of a God who loved the world so much, he sent his only son to be its saviour. He knows the grief and the despair and the loss when, despite everything that he has done, that new life that he hoped for fails to eventuate. God comforts you with a heart that knows your heart, that feels what you feel. And I think he wants you to know that even though you may not have a child, you have a mother's heart. And that is a precious, precious thing. So as I close this morning, I think the best thing I can do is leave you with a prayer from Paul. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father, who parcels out heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet firmly planted on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test the length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Amen.